Hey everybody, welcome to our online worship time. I hope you're ready to pour out your heart to God and sing and worship Him. Turn up your computer, your TV, whatever it is. Team, are you ready?
Ready.
This is no joke. We're really going to worship Him with all our hearts. You ready? Oh, to Thee be the glory.
Yes.
To Thee be the honor. All blessing and praises to the Lamb. To Thee be all power,
strength, wisdom, and riches, and all of our worship to the Lamb. Here we go. Hey.
To the Lamb who's on the throne, to the one who takes the scroll, all to Him alone we sing praises. To the one who purchased us, to the one who shed His blood to take our sins away, we sing praises. Angels singing, creatures shouting, worthy is the Lamb of God. Harps are playing, angels praying, worthy is the Lamb of God. Oh, to Thee be the glory. Takes the scroll, all to Him alone we sing praises. To the one who purchased us, to the one who shed His blood to take our sins away, we sing praises. Angels singing, preachers shouting, worthy is the Lamb of God. Harps are playing, elders praying, worthy is the Lamb of God. Takes the scroll, all to Him alone we sing praises. To the one who purchased us, to the one who shed His blood to take our sins away, we sing praises. Angels singing, preachers shouting, worthy is the Lamb of God. Hearts are playing, elders praying, worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sing like this.
And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my
My name is Marvin, one of the members of staff here, and just want to say good morning to each and every one of you. One of our primary values here at Christian Assemblies is value that we call family, and it's the way that we express our lives with one another as a church family. But one of the ways that we get to live that out in a practical way is we get to dedicate babies. And so regularly we'll take time to stop and dedicate some precious little ones. And this morning we have the pleasure of dedicating two little ones and their families before the Lord. And so you're going to get to meet them, and they are beautiful. So I'm going to invite them to come on up, the families of Hans. Here he is. Hans is very dapper this morning. You have got to see him. Beautiful, beautiful. Welcome, you guys. You guys can stand up here. And we're also going to welcome Mabel's family. And she is equally beautiful this morning. Look at her and her beautiful dress. You know, Mabel's her name. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Well, welcome, you guys. Welcome, families. And we follow the direction of Scripture when Jesus' parents brought Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. And so we honor that tradition and we follow that. And really what we like to say, families, is to all of you, is this is a time for us to pray over your little, beautiful little ones and dedicate them before the Lord. But really is also a time for you as families to be dedicated before the Lord. You see, you as mom and dad have the amazing privilege and the honor of introducing your children to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a privilege that is. You get to tell them stories and you get to pray over them. And so we join you as a church family in doing that, but we also know that it's primarily your responsibility, so we join you in that. But secondarily, we know that there's an evil one that's looking to harm us as believers, and including your little ones. So we do pray for the dedication of your babies, that they would be spared of any of the harms of Satan and his attacks. And finally, we pray for your marriages. We know that the best way that you can love these children outside of introducing them to the gospel of Jesus is to love each other well. And so we'll pray for your families, and we'll pray for your marriages, and just invite God's presence to be over you. And so any family, friends, if you want to take some photos, feel free to come on up. But church family, would you join me? We're going to stretch out our hands and bless these little ones. And just as a way of saying we love them and we're with you and we affirm them as a church family. So would you join me in prayer? So Father, we thank you. We thank you for this beautiful moment that we get to bless and dedicate these families. We ask that you would bless them, Lord. Bless them indeed, Father God. Lord, we pray for Mabel. We just ask that you would pour infinite blessings on her life, Lord. Lord, she's so young and innocent right now, Father God, but when she gets of age, we just pray that she would come to a realization of who you are, Lord, that her parents would have the privilege of introducing you to the saving power of your gospel, Lord. So we pray for her life, Lord. We pray that you would separate her and bless her, and we dedicate her now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we also pray for Hans, Lord. We pray that you would bless him indeed, Father God, that all the days of his life he would be spared of any attacks of the evil one because you are with him, Lord. For both of these babies, we pray that they would have great friends, Lord, and that they would be good friends, Father God. And we just pray that that their hearts would be radically changed by the power of your gospel, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for these marriages, Lord, and these families represented here as well, Father God. We pray that that they would be good examples for their children, Father God. We pray that they would love each other well. And when anything happens in their marriages, that they would know to turn to you, Father, who are the source of our strength, Father God. And so now in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, we bless and dedicate these babies. In Jesus' name we ask, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, guys. You guys can take your seats.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Ralph. I'm so glad you joined us for worship this weekend. If you are new or visiting, I want to extend a special welcome. You can go to our cachurch.com or to our CALA app for more information about our church and also to fill out an online connection card so one of our pastors can extend a personal welcome. Our women's gathering on September 1st is our first women's ministry event of the fall. You can join us either in person or online to worship together, be encouraged by God's word, and of course, to have some fun. Our Fusion Sunday night service will be resuming indoors this weekend on Sunday, August 22nd. If you are a young adult, 18 to 35 years old, join us Sundays at 6 p.m. Our next baptism class is on September 5th. Join us if you made a decision to follow Christ and want to be baptized, or you want to learn what the Bible teaches about baptism. You can register for the class online. If you would like to give tithes or offerings, you can do so online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. And thank you again for your ongoing generosity. And before we continue in our worship service today, let's pray and give thanks for God's generosity and provision, as well as praying for our upcoming Fusion service and young adults. Join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way that you care for each of us. Thank you for your provision in our lives, Lord. I want to say a special prayer to those who have a need. I pray, God, that you would supply it and fill it to the full according to your glory in Christ Jesus. And Father, would you bless the tithes and the offerings as they are given this day? And Father, we also pray that you would bless our upcoming Fusion service. Would you bless our young adult community? Would you bless our Fusion team, Lord, as they lead this Sunday evening for the first time in a year and a half? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's hear from Matt as he shares this weekend's sermon.
Well, to my church family and to anyone who's visiting or joining us online, I want to just tell you how glad I am to have this time with you. My name's Matt, and it's an honor for us to get to join together like this right now. We're going to look today at one of the shortest chapters in the Bible. So there's not going to be much for us to read, but there's a lot for us to learn. The book of Psalms is a book of worship that is full of wisdom for life with God. And the psalm that we're going to look at today tells us what can happen when people share a common pursuit to worship God together. So that's where we're headed. I want you to look at the psalm with me. I'm going to read it for us, Psalm 133, beginning in verse 1. And we get this little introductory note even before the psalm begins. It says, "A song of pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, a psalm of David." And we're going to spend some time talking about those little introductory notes. But here's the psalm. "Notice how good and pleasing it is when the family of God dwells in harmony. It is good like the oil that ran down the beard of Aaron and down to the bottom of his clothes." We'll talk about that. "It's like the dew on Mount Hermon running down the mountains of Zion." We're going to talk about that too. "For there the Lord commanded abundant blessing of life that never ends." So there's a lot of imagery in this short little psalm. And I want to examine it and walk through all of it with you to discover some wisdom that God offers all of us for life with Him. That little introductory note that I mentioned, that gives us some important details. So let's just start there. It's a song of pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. What is a pilgrim? I think about somebody with a funny hat and a big collar and buckles on their shoes. But a pilgrim is somebody who makes a journey to a place where they expect to have a deeply meaningful, life-changing experience. That's why we call those European settlers who came over on the Mayflower, we call them pilgrims, because they went on a journey to find a place that they believed would offer them a new way
of life.
People make pilgrimages to places for all kinds of reasons. They will go where miracles have been reported, hoping to receive a life-changing miracle for themselves. And so there are pilgrimages of all kinds, and they take place in lots of different world religions. But here's the important thing to know about pilgrims. They all recognize a need for what only God can do in their lives. They recognize a need that cannot be met apart from the power of God and an act of grace. Psalm 133 is a song for pilgrims. It's for pilgrims to sing, we're told, as they traveled. So the people of Israel, you have to understand, in many different times, they were given opportunities throughout the year. They were given opportunities to travel from all over Israel and the surrounding regions and to gather at a place of worship. For a long time, that was a tent that they called the tabernacle, and then later it was the temple built in Jerusalem. And these pilgrimages, they were no small undertaking. People would take vacation time, get off work, pack up, and travel from all over. And slowly, as they traveled, they would begin to converge with pilgrims traveling from other places, and the number of pilgrims would grow and grow and become one mass of worshipers going up to Jerusalem, to the place of worship. Along the way, as they would meet up with these different pilgrims, they would tell each other about their life. They would tell each other stories about how they had experienced God's faithfulness in the previous year. Or they would tell one another how they'd been suffering or struggling. And people would tell stories. You remember God's faithfulness. Remember when this happened in Israel's history. And you remember when God did that for his people. And then some people along the way would start to make some music as these pilgrims are converging and traveling, and someone else would start to sing along with that music, and the music would spread as more voices sang along, converging together more and more on their way, so that before they even arrived, they were already worshiping. I've been told something similar that some remember in this church, that years ago, when most people didn't have air conditioning in their home, they would come early, particularly on Sunday nights, for the Sunday night service. People would show up in this room as early as they could because there was air conditioning in here. And they would come as early as they could just to hang out, talk with one another. And as people have told me these memories, somebody would go over to the piano and softly start playing a song. And somebody else would recognize that song and they would start singing. And then slowly the chatter around the room would dissipate as more voices joined and the music grew louder. And pretty soon everybody was singing songs of worship before the service actually was supposed to begin. So the worship leader would stand up and just add to what was already happening. Christian Assembly has been known for generations as a worshiping church. And not because of any individual or any strategic design, but because for generations, pilgrims in need of what only God can do, have been compelled by grace to gather from all parts of the city and just worship together in this place unashamed, uninhibited, just worship. That attitude of worship reaches back to how the people of God would gather as pilgrims singing songs on their way to the place of worship. They would laugh together and cry together and sing together so that by the time they all arrived in Jerusalem, it was obvious to all of them that this was more than just a crowd you'd find at a concert, but this was family, deeply connected by their story and their faith and their covenant choice of God. We're told these pilgrims were ascending to Jerusalem, and I want you to know a little about that, what that means. I haven't been to Jerusalem yet. That's something I very much want to do at some point in my life. I want to see some of those places that I've read about in Scripture. But for the people of Israel, you need to understand, particularly those who were faithful and devoted people of God, Jerusalem was more than a place to visit someday. To them, to God's people, Jerusalem was the center of their world. Everything revolved around the events in Jerusalem. In fact, no matter where you were, they would say Jerusalem was up from there. If you were going to Jerusalem, you were going up. So we say things like, I'm going to go up to take a trip up to Oregon, or I'm going to drive down to San Diego. But for them, it didn't matter where you were, north, south, east, or west. If you were going to Jerusalem, you were going up to Jerusalem. And it's not because it was the highest point of land. It was because it was the highest place of importance. It's where the Lord Most High was worshipped in the most sacred ways. That's what made it the center of their world and the high place of importance in their lives. And as I thought about that, it made me wonder, what's the high point of importance in my life? What sits at the center of the world for you? These pilgrims were ascending to a place of worship, not to a place of work, not to a place of wealth. They didn't ascend to a place of power for themselves or to a place of pleasure. What are you ascending to in your life? What height of achievement or status are you hoping to rise to? Because there is a direct connection between what we rise to and what we worship. What we look to as the highest point of importance, what we reach to for significance, what we make the highest priority in our lives. And these needy pilgrims ascended to a place of worshiping Almighty God. They were in pursuit of God's presence. It was like they were leaving certain cares and concerns and worries of the world behind them and entering into heaven on earth. That's what this was like for them. We're talking about what can happen among people who worship together. Now, I haven't even gotten to the psalm itself. I think I could preach a whole sermon just on the introductory notes of this psalm. But there's one more note I want to point out to you. We're told this is a psalm of David. And David was king of Israel. So this song was written by the king. Don't miss this. Written by the king for people to worship a power greater than the king. most kings in human history have proven to like songs about themselves and have insisted that some of the worship, at least some of the worship, be given to them. David is a king who worships the King of Kings and insists that his people give their worship to God. A psalm of David, the worshiping king, for a people who worship. So that's the context we get from the introductory notes of this psalm. A song of pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. A psalm of David. For all who recognize that you need what only God can do, you are welcome to rise up and worship in God's presence. Now, I want to show you three things that can happen among people who gather in this common pursuit to worship God. What happens when we are a worshiping people together like this? So, first, what we are together becomes better than what we are apart. What we are together becomes better than what we are apart. The psalm begins after those introductory notes. It begins like this. Notice how good and pleasing it is when the family of God dwells in harmony. The people of God converging as the family of God. Who is that? Who are these people who are called the family of God? For us, Jesus answers that question. John tells us in his gospel, in chapter 1, verse 12, to all who believed Jesus and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And so if you trust that Jesus has made the way for you into the presence of God, then you are among those this psalm is talking about. If you are one who trusts and follows Jesus, then you are what Texans would call all y'all in this psalm. Just try that phrase with me, all y'all. It feels kind of good to say it, maybe only for me. But this psalm says how good and pleasing it is when all y'all who are following Jesus, who are trusting in him, dwell in harmony. When all y'all stick together. I read a book several years ago called Sticky Church, and it wasn't about donuts in the lobby. It was about how to form a local church where people who visit choose to stick around and become participants in the life of your church. And so the book, Sticky Church, asked this question: how sticky is your church? Do people stick around? And to even answer that question, the author suggested you have to know two bits of information about your church first. The first thing you got to know about them is this question: is anyone being invited to your church? And second, is anyone who is invited actually visiting your church? If no one's inviting anyone, and no one who is invited is visiting, well, then you don't have any reason to read the rest of the book about Sticky Church. You've got to be aware that people are inviting, and people who are inviting are visiting. And if that is true, then the book says something that most people, even Christians in church, forget about. Here's the secret to Sticky Church. says you need to welcome one another and treat others as though you are glad they came. Shocking. Shocking, brilliant, lightning bolt of insight. There's a little more to the Sticky Church program, but it pretty much boils down to this point. It's good if people in your church like other people and welcome them to be part of your church. If a local church can accomplish that, then not only will visitors likely stick around, but more and more people will likely have a decent chance to respond to the gospel and enter into life with God. And so this word in Psalm 133, this word harmony, dwelling together in harmony, is a word that means stick together. Isn't it good and pleasing when the people of God stick together? It doesn't mean look the same or dress the same or sound the same or do the same. This is not uniformity. It isn't just tolerating differences. It isn't organizing ourselves by similarities. The psalmist has in mind a setting in which people gather together regardless of what makes them different for one purpose. And that is to acknowledge together their need before God and worship and celebrate the one who is the source of mercy and grace. It's a scene the psalmist has in mind, like Tommy's song that we sing sometimes here, that says, I sing it over you. You sing it over me. He loves us. Let the brothers sing and let the sisters shout. He loves us. All are welcome here. Join in the cheer. He loves us. That's the kind of harmony that the psalm is talking about. And that kind of harmony will only be possible among us as we gather together as needy pilgrims in worship to God. What we are together becomes better than what we are apart. I need you to help me, and you need me to help you keep rising up in worship to God. That's the first thing that can happen among us as we worship together. Here's the second thing that can happen. Is that we become what God can make us. We become what God wants to make us. Look at verse 2 and 3 in the psalm. It says, it's good, talking about this, all y'all sticking together, is good like the oil that ran down the beard of Aaron and down to the bottom of his clothes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon running down all the mountains of Zion. What's all that about? All that is imagery that says God will have His way among us. The oil on Aaron's beard and the mountains are images of what God ordained for the people of God. Aaron was the first high priest who God identified, set apart, and ordained to be the one who would lead the people into the presence of God. And throughout the Bible, when someone was identified as being set apart under God's authority for a particular purpose, they would be anointed with oil. So you can think about the story you might be familiar with when Samuel identifies David as the man that God chose to be king over Israel. Samuel pours oil over David's head. It's a symbol of God's authority to accomplish a certain purpose through someone's life. Jesus is called the Messiah, the Christ, which both titles means the anointed one. And Jesus was not only anointed with oil, but he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, so that because of Jesus, God anoints all his children with his Holy Spirit, so that we can all be set apart for life with him and for God to have his way in our lives. So this image of oil on Aaron's beard and on his clothes is a picture of the abundant power and authority of God to have his way among his people. The same is true of the dew on Mount Hermon and the mountains of Zion. This is the promised land of God, that God set apart for his people. And the dew on the mountain, particularly on Mount Hermon, is so abundant that it collects and flows down into the Jordan River that God's people crossed as they entered in to the promised land. God ordained that place for his people. So the point is that in the presence of God, when we worship together, God can have his way among us, and he can make of us what he wants us to be. At one point, Jesus points out to his disciples. He points out to them the way that people often treat one another. Ways that we have a tendency to assert ourselves and to assert our agendas onto others. He points out to his disciples ways that we insist that people who are not like us are inferior to us. And Jesus said to his disciples, "But among you, it'll be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant." Jesus calls those who trust in him. He calls us out of the patterns of this world and into a different way that God has chosen and ordained for his people. And when we worship together among us, it'll be different. When we worship together, God will make of us what he wants us to be and have his way among us. And here's the final thing. Stay with me for this final way that when we worship together in God's presence, we can expect an abundance of blessing to flow among us. When we worship together, we can expect an abundance of blessing to flow among us. We can expect an abundance of what God wants for us. So when the psalmist talks about God's blessing being commanded, I'm not talking about a parking lot full of Maybachs and Bugattis. Sometimes God's blessing is material, but David tells us specifically what this blessing is in Psalm 133. Look at the end of verse 3. "For there," he says, "there where all y'all stick together as pilgrims gathered and worship the Almighty God, there the Lord commanded abundant blessing of life that never ends." Life, an abundance of life. In his letter to the Romans, Paul picks up on this point. And he says this, he says, "Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that if sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So in his presence, in the presence of God, as we worship together, we declare and we remember and we receive the abundant life that God wants to give us by grace. And over us, God commands that blessing. Life with an abundance of hope. Life with an abundance of peace with God and with one another. Life with an abundance of faith, not just in ourselves, but in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who alone is worthy to be praised. Life with an abundance of love that overflows from knowing how loved I am and how loved you are by the one who gave up his life for us. In the presence of God, as we worship together, God commands over us a never-ending flow of forgiveness, of righteousness, of justice, of life with Him. A gathering of pilgrims, needy in the presence of God. The man who stands before you today, me, I am a man who needs mercy, who needs grace, who needs courage, who needs strength. And so I come to worship with you. And whoever you are, and whatever you have done, and wherever you have been, God wants to command His blessing of life over us together. That's why we worship together. Not alone, not for our agendas, not better than with our noses in the air, but in need, like pilgrims, with our faces lifted by God, the God of all grace. Together among us, it will be different. We rise up. We rise up to worship the one who commands his blessing over us, and we worship. In his presence, together we worship. And before we're done today, let's spend just a little more time worshiping our good and great God.
Turn from all our wicked ways.
different now. Hear your people crying out.
Thank you so much for being with us today. If you made a decision to follow Christ or would like to know more about how you can follow him, email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed so that one of our pastors can follow up with you. And now let me close our time with this benediction from Romans chapter 15. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.